are listening to WXRW LP Milwaukee 104.1 FM and RiverWestRadio.com globally. Host NTSC, welcome to The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. The Anti is anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, anti-hierarchy, anti-sexist, anti-racist, anti-fascist, and more. If we're against so much, you would be forgiven for asking what we stand for. The ideals of freedom. In this series, we explore what a free society might look like while recognizing that none of us today are truly free. And having said all that, the device that you're listening to right now wasn't free, but the radio waves are. Sadly, WXRW does cost money to operate. To that end, you can help us. You can visit the station at 824 East Center Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and purchase a hat, a mug, or a t-shirt. And all of those proceeds will go directly to supporting the station. Or if you like any of the programming that you may listen to on WXRW, you can reach out. There's a few things that you can do when you reach out to us. You can either just donate, or you can enter into a community partnership with us and become an official underwriter. You can underwrite a piece of programming personally that you like and have your message read live on air by the producer that you appreciate. Or you can take advantage of 120 community minutes that we have available every single day of the week. You can underwrite, and we'll get you a very specific package that you can afford. And then your message will be read throughout the week at whatever times that you would like us to read your message, essentially. Just reach out, get in touch with us, become an underwriter. It's pretty great. I've mentioned before that I'm a really lucky guy. And I really, really am. And I need to remind myself of that. And I need to opt for optimism. And I need to choose gratitude. That's something that I'm going to endeavor to do here in 2019. And I want everyone out there to know that you're lucky too. At least a certain portion of you are very, very lucky, because you have people that you can talk to. And I'll explain what I mean by that. So I mentioned a few weeks ago that I was hoping to begin a new project in 2019 here on The Anti. And I was hoping to interview other local anarchists and just ask them how they came to anarchism and what they think about it and give their criticisms of it and get some different viewpoints beyond my own, because, you know, just listening to me talk every week is probably pretty boring. So, you know, I wanted to get some different perspectives, still from an anarchist stance, because there's a rich dialogue in the anarchist tradition. And I said that I knew personally one other person from Milwaukee who considered themselves an anarchist. So I had tea and coffee with this friend of mine yesterday. And we had a really great conversation, I feel. Really very engaging. But this friend of mine has kind of moved away from anarchism in their journey And in the course of our discussion, they made their points, and you know, I made mine, and I felt like both of us believed in what we were saying, and we made very rational arguments. And I feel it's crucial for me to be able to have good conversations like that, where I'm able to state, you know, my beliefs and then back them up with, you know, measurable quantitative research that I've done in particular for this show. When I got home, I had a really unexpected reaction, because, you know, I was supposed to do some freelance work, had my little to-do list, and I was just frozen. I was incapable of concentrating. And I didn't know if it was just the adrenaline from having a really engaged conversation, you know, with a really smart person. And I was very, very cold, because we turned the heat off in our apartment in the winter. And it was only about 16 degrees yesterday. So I figured, all right, I'll warm up in the shower, because I hadn't taken a shower yet. And I get into the shower and I just start sobbing, just like uncontrollably. And I'm just racked with these just body shaking sobs. And I just can't stop. You know, and I get out of the shower and I would spend basically the rest of the entire day until I went to bed just uncontrollably crying every now and then. I just couldn't stop myself, because it struck me just how isolated I feel, because there is no one in my life that I know personally with whom I can sit down from a place of shared beliefs. There's no one. And I feel very, very isolated. And everyone, you know, whether you consider yourself a liberal or a Democrat, whether you consider yourself a Democrat or a Republican, there we go. You should feel very lucky, because you have people with whom you can commiserate. You have people with whom you can, or in whom you can confide, and they will not approach you as if you are, you know, insane or stupid or childish or naive. And as much as the people in my life love me, I know that they, you know, I know I'm annoying the heck out of so many people I love every time I open my stupid mouth. So I just censor myself more and more as we talk about the world. And that's not good for me, because I just lock it all up inside. So today's episode is going to be a little bit about isolation, atomization, and maybe how we can combat it. I don't know. I don't know how I can. 'Cause making friends when you're an adult is famously difficult. And especially so if the stance that you hold is specifically counter to all of the machines of power and the status quo. 'Cause there's such a thing as security culture. And I'll need to do an entire episode on security culture, because I feel it's really worth talking about. But thanks to security culture, you can't just put out feelers and say, hey, I'm an anarchist and I would like to talk to other anarchists. Because there is an inherent danger to any group of people who are specifically working towards the dismantling of structures of power, very understandably. And whether people believe it or not, there are constant attempts by authority figures to infiltrate, you know, groups of the radical left, you know, dismantle them, disperse them, and foil their attempts at, you know, realized change. And there's historical documentation for that. You know, you can believe me or not, it's up to you. But anyway, thanks to security culture, I can't just go to Craigslist and be like, hey, would you be my friend? You know, especially because I'm a white straight guy. I really represent just visually a dangerous faction of society to the radical left. And, you know, that's totally understandable. And I want to stress, you know, to my family and friends who probably do think I'm crazy or stupid or childish or naive, that I don't really necessarily care what you call this belief system that I hold, this process that I see as having great potential to solving real world problems. I call it anarchism. You could just as rightfully call it mutualism, and that would be correct. You could just as rightfully call it horizontalism, and that would be correct. You could just as rightfully call it humanism, and that would be correct. I remember in the passionate discussion I was having with my mother a number of months ago, she said that she didn't believe any ism held the solutions to the real problems that face the human family and the planet. And the fact of the matter is, whether or not you think any ism holds the solution, whether or not you like any of those isms, socialism, neoliberalism, anarchism, humanism, you know, whether or not you like any of those, communism, you know, famously demonized all the time, it does not negate the fact that you work and struggle in an ism, and you have done so your whole life. You live in a capitalism. You live in specifically a neoliberal capitalism. And as I am faced with the fact that I am, you know, excruciatingly isolated, and I really have nobody personally with whom I can confide, I just find myself censoring myself more and more. And I think that's why I spent so much time crying yesterday, is because, you know, as I was kind of fingering through the Rolodex in my mind of who I could try and reach out to just get some care and some support, there is no one. Because the second I start actually talking about what's on my mind, I look like a crazy person. So, today is about isolation and atomization. What is atomization? Well, I'm not going to look anything up. Today is just kind of off the cuff, and I haven't done any research for today. This is another one of those kind of personal mental health days for me, I think. But atomization, A-T-O-M-I-Z-A-I-T-I-O-N, basically means isolating the individuals of a society, and systematically trying to weaken social and communal institutions, so that people are less likely to feel part of something larger than themselves. So people are less likely to band together and meet. So people are less likely to convene in large groups. Atomization and isolation are tools in a capitalism, because family ties, friendly ties, social constructs, doing things for free, helping one another for free just from, a stance of our mutual shared humanity is bad for business. And it's bad for governmental oversight. In the Reagan era and the Thatcher era, we're famous for really attacking familial social institutions and trying to push an agenda that would lead more people towards further isolation and atomization. It's an us versus them attitude, but even more so, it's a me versus you attitude. You know, this is the rugged individualism, which is always stressed by, you know, this current system, this, you know, the concept of entrepreneurialism, where one person, you know, the self, are held over the communal. They're held over the benefit of society as a whole. And that was always a critique of communism, for example. You know, the capitalists would say things like, you know, oh, people are just, they're reduced to drones who must parrot the accepted doctrine of the totalitarian state, all that kind of stuff. And the fact of the matter is, 40 to 50%, according to polls, of American workers believe that their job does no good to society. They believe that if their job were to disappear tomorrow, one of two things would happen. Either nothing would change because it has no effect, or the world would actually have a net benefit because their job actually does harm. That's 40 to 50% of all American workers. That sounds like a drone to me. And when you're talking about people conforming, well, you need to conform to all the regulations of your place of work. We've talked about this in past episodes. Every American business that is not run as a cooperative is run as a small dictatorship. You're absolutely forced to fall into line with the rank and file. You've got to parrot the company line. You've got to lie to yourself, as we learned, or as we discussed briefly in the essay about Life of an Office Drone. You've got to be good at telling your superiors what they want to hear. You've got to fall into line. You've got to wear your uniform, whatever that uniform may be, suit and tie, nylons, or an actual uniform. Our lives are regulated and regimented severely. And that's not a symptom of communism. It's a symptom of capitalism. So atomization is really an attempt to isolate you further from your community, from your support structures of, you know, human contact. You're more and more expected to interact with one another through the medium of electronic digital technology, and less in person, because you're much less likely to, you know, convene, exercise your rights to assembly, that kind of thing. Margaret Thatcher was famously quoted as saying, "There is no society, there are only individuals." And that's patently false. But it's a lie that will serve to remove basic human support structures from one another and to perpetuate the lie that it is me versus you, or it's, you know, us versus them, except the them is never the, it's never the actual enemy that's doing any real damage to your life. I saw a funny little infographic the other day, and it said there's three people at a table. There's a boss, there's you, and there's a refugee. And there's three cookies on the table. The boss takes two of the cookies, and then he tells you that that refugee is coming for your cookie. That's really what atomization is. It's similar to nationalism, in as much as it proposes a false enemy and then does a very, very good job of convincing certain populations that, you know, the propaganda reflects reality. And the fact of the matter is, there is such a thing as the 99%, that great rallying cry that came from the Occupy movement. There really is such a thing as the 1%, and there really, really is such a thing as the 0.01%. And they don't have your best interests at heart. And I hate to use the term, the blanket term, the media, because it's been highly politicized. And I don't mean it in the way that a lot of people mean it. A lot of people will say things like the liberal media, the leftist media, blah, blah, blah. Well, the media just represents the status quo. And that's understandable. I always want to stress that I'm not making demons of any single human being. There are people that are just grown and raised in this system. And the rules of this system, if you want to approach it from a game theory perspective, will always reward certain behaviors. And those behaviors are always going to be very self-serving, because that's the reward structure. The profit motive, profit incentive, for example, is a really great way to reward the kind of competition that will inevitably crush true radical, forward-thinking, progressive research, for example. We're going to do a whole episode later on just how sad the state of affairs in the sciences are. But we won't do that right now. Yesterday was really hard. I'm feeling a little better today. My wife took care of me last night, you know. She hugged me and she said she didn't think I was crazy, but I mean, I know for a fact that I really need to hold my tongue, because I'm just so annoying to so many people whom I really love. And I don't mean to be. But I also know that having no outlet, you know, having no person to interact with who doesn't think I'm naive, stupid, or crazy, well, it's taking an emotional toll. While we're talking about atomization and isolation, let's talk a little bit about self-care. Because self-care is really important. Sorry, my microphone is getting a little screwy here. Self-care doesn't mean buying things that will make you happy. You know, self-care doesn't mean going out and buying a latte, going out and shopping. As much as you are able, with what little time you are afforded in your day, I really highly recommend meditation, and I highly recommend mindfulness. Mindfulness is a technique that I learned from therapy that has helped me a lot. And you know, I should practice some mindfulness today. I think that would really help me start my day right. Mindfulness is really nothing more than just clearing your mind. You close your eyes and you focus strictly on your breathing. And thoughts will naturally find their way into your consciousness. And I recommend recognizing those thoughts. Kind of paying them a quick piece of your consciousness. Recognize what that thought does to you emotionally, but crucially, dismiss that thought. Because it's not what your mind is supposed to be doing at that moment. Your mind is supposed to be just concentrating on your breathing. That's a really great way to support emotional health. It improves memory. It's been shown to improve math scores, things like that, you know, but mostly it's an emotional thing. Self-care like that, I think, is crucial in a world that is difficult, so difficult for so many people. But this episode is also a reminder to Democrats and Republicans how lucky you are to have a group that at least you can talk to, who share, you know, even the most basic fundamental beliefs that you hold. I don't think my beliefs are crazy. Like I said, call it what you will. Call it horizontalism, mutualism, communism, anarchism, humanism. It's all the same thing, really. I just want to address real world problems from the stance of real human need, which is not being done. I just want to address real world problems from a stance of maximizing the possibilities, which is not being done. I just really want people to be able to form the questions that frame the reality of their lives, which is not being done. That's really all I want. It's three simple things. Address problems from a position of real human need. Address solutions that will maximize possibilities. And give the people the opportunity to pose the questions that will frame their reality. Those are all very achievable things. But again, they're all things that are radically and dangerously counter to the status quo and the structures of power. So there's a real danger in combating those structures of power. Well, we're all works in progress. Thank you so much. If you've been listening, you've been listening to WXRW LPFM River West Radio. And I've been your host, NTSC, and I will be back again next week. I don't know what we'll discuss next week. I have a lot of show ideas. Thanks for listening, if you are listening. Stay tuned, because there's a lot of really great programming here on WXRW. Thank you.